Blog Talk Radio.
Here's the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast. She is the lady with the hair and the house, and the news from together, you guys. Drummer.
And welcome back to another episode of Smooth
Drama
with
Dick Hugger.
Butt of Pecan.
And Dick Hugger and Butt of Pecan.
Yeah, I just said that, dude.
I know. I just
you
want to
repeat it
anything.
Again? For those of you who didn't get it?
This is Butt of Pecan.
Yeah, he's
and,
pointing.
And I'm Dick Hugger. I know y'all saw that.
Dick Hugger.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Without hugging them.
So welcome back to another show.
Yeah.
Glad y'all could join us.
Yeah. It's nice to be back. Even though we're still bitter at Mr. Peter James. I want to give a weekly shout out to him.
You suck.
You suck, Peter James.
Where's show me the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Okay. So, what we got? You need to keep me awake today.
We have good stuff today.
Good stuff here.
Yeah.
Microphone.
Microphone check 1, 2.
1, 2.
3, 4.
You're going to start rapping in a minute.
No.
Then I can start spitting on my speech.
Spitting right now.
I know.
Wet me all up.
We're not going to do that.
Yeah. Well, this right here is subject to Hall of Fame status right here. This is like one of the greatest things that you ever do. A team takes aim at Google with a giant penis. Rory McInnes really wanted his house to stand out on Google Earth.
God.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. People, I'm sure most folks know a little bit about Google Earth. You know, you can look up an address. But you stalkers, turn off the radio.
No, I'm sure if they're stalkers, they already know.
Yeah, well,
nothing
you know,
new.
Google Earth is you can, like, surf in, get onto the street of a person. Well, 18-year-old Rory McInnes decided to paint a penis on the roof of his parents' multi-million-dollar home. After watching a documentary on Google Earth. But it took a year for his parents, Andy and Claire, to even notice that there was a giant drawing of a gigantic penis on their roof.
Was it white?
Yes. He said he got a can of white paint, and he went up there while they were gone, and I guess somebody who had Google Earthed his house and saw the penis on top.
Oh.
A helicopter came and
landed.
Yeah, they spotted it, and the passengers took pictures and
the passengers took pictures.
Yeah, passengers, you know,
of the
helicopter saw it and was like, "Oh wow, we gotta take a picture of this," and I guess that they called the daddy, and the daddy, Andy McInnes, was like, man, it's a practical joke, right? It's an April Fool's joke, right? There's no way there's a 60-foot penis on top of my house. And then the father spoke to his 4 children to see if they knew something about it. And Rory, who's in Brazil when his father called, busted in the laughter. And said, "Oh, you found it then."
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they told him they're not happy about it, and he's going to scrub it off when he gets back home.
What was his excuse for doing it?
Nah, he just said it was just funny.
Just funny.
Man, come on. Tell me that's not hilarious.
Oh, my God.
That is hilarious.
Oh, my God. That is funny.
That's Hall of Fame.
But...
That's Hall of Fame. That is Hall of Fame. Look, he got on top of his roof and painted a giant penis for Google Earth. So that every time people, basically he was saying, suck my penis to everybody who looked on that street. That's gangster.
Why do you say it's, suck my penis?
When you look at it, you see a giant dick.
Okay.
So that's basically what he's saying. You know, some people say, kiss my ass. He drew a penis on the roof. So every time they see a giant penis, man, that's hard.
I didn't know that's what it meant.
That's how I take it. That is Dick Tucker's interpretation.
If he were to paint an ass on the roof, that would mean kiss my ass?
Yeah.
I would just say it's just ass.
You know, I'm ruining you.
It could mean, I'm ruining you, or here's an ass lives here, or,
I doubt it's an ass lives here.
Yeah, well, it doesn't mean kiss my ass or suck my dick.
Okay.
Excuse me, penis.
Why you gotta say excuse me?
Because I'm trying not to be so raunchy.
Okay.
I should act, I guess, more like a lady. What is that book by Steve Harvey? Act like a lady, think like a man. Well, okay.
I didn't know he wrote a book.
He wrote a number one best-selling book. It's number one right now. Mm-hmm. It's called Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man. He's given out advice to women on how to deal with men.
Really? So Steve Harvey is selling the secrets.
Yes. Steve Harvey is giving out all the secrets about titles when you're introduced and just, and he calls the, people call it the VJJ or vagina or, pussy.
I never knew
and
they,
he calls it a,
JJ.
A cookie. VJJ is from the Grey's Anatomy, but he calls it the cookie.
Yeah.
Don't be giving away the cookie.
There's the cookie.
Because he said, because everybody likes cookies.
Yeah. There's cookie. There's monkey.
Well, I heard monkey.
Uh-huh. Monkey's you.
What? He called it
cookie. Somebody will say you got a fat monkey.
I heard a fat mound.
A fat mound.
Yeah. Well, because when they talk in baseball terms, it's basically for base.
I've used the big front.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
I use that for men.
Yeah, you amuse yourself, don't you?
Well, they can't use that for everybody, though. There's only a select few. I know.
Woo. All right. Now, for the listeners out there, you listened to us before, I'm a conspiracy theory guy. And we talked about these turkeys out here.
Oh, no, not the turkeys.
Gangster. As terrorist turkeys. Yeah, these ain't no jive turkeys either. These turkeys are straight kicking folks out.
What did a turkey do now?
When a vulture turkey crashes through a minivan naming a woman. Yeah, a woman was injured when a turkey vulture crashed into the minivan in which she was traveling. The bird later died. State police said that the turkey vulture, it crashed through the minivan's windshield at about like 8:15 a.m. last Friday on Interstate 80 in Parsippany, which is in New Jersey. It whopped 32-year-old Vanessa Hurtado in the face.
Whopped.
Causing minor cuts and shards of glass caught her in the eye. And I guess the turkey vulture landed in the middle seat behind the driver, 35-year-old Jorge Hurtado, who wasn't hurt. He said the bird was alive for a brief time following the crash, and then I guess the responding officer pronounced the animal dead at the scene. See? Now, this is what, the fourth or the fifth time
a turkey attacked somebody.
Has attacked someone.
Damn.
I mean, come on. Think about it. That's hard. Now, people out there, y'all tell me, is it a coincidence that all these turkeys not letting people deliver the mail, turkeys dive bombing, knocking dudes off their motorcycle, shooting out the air, knocking drivers in the car? These some badass turkeys, y'all. They trying to let y'all know they don't appreciate Thanksgiving, and they like until y'all stop and y'all start eating chicken for Thanksgiving, it's going to be more. So y'all might want to think about that. Next time, you know, you get around October.
Power to the turkey.
That's right. Power to the turkey. I know everybody, you know, it was popular back in the day to toss up the W for West Side.
Yeah.
Might want to toss up the T for turkey.
For turkey.
Turkey power, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey power. Now we're going to move on to somebody that these turkeys. And maybe here at Smooth Drama, we can get like get into a, like, negotiate a treaty with the turkeys and see if we can get them to attack some of these smooth, crazy criminals out here. You know, the dumb ones? Right.
No,
I'm saying that,
no, the dumb ones will take care of themselves.
Yeah. Well, this right here, I'm going to say his name, Jerome Marquis Blanchett. Reportedly said he was smooth. This dude, he attacks at the police officers' convention near Harrisburg.
He what?
Yes. He tried to rob a policeman, a retired policeman, at the police officers' convention. They had over 300 officers there. And he tried to rob a cop at a cop convention.
Now, know what was a cop convention?
Well, you know, normally when you go to convention, they got signs up, policeman convention.
Maybe he couldn't read because he's a criminal.
Hey. I'm going to think that that's a great deduction.
He couldn't read.
Yeah. Not only that, he tried to get away in a taxi.
Now that is stupid.
He tried to get away in a taxi. This
Where was this at?
This was in Ohio.
Oh my.
And a reporter asking for a comment after he was on trial and arrested, he said, "I'm smooth."
If he was so smooth.
There's not too much to say about this young man. They say children are the future.
Ooh, goodness.
I'm saying that if he's the future, man.
It don't look so bright.
Yeah, it's dark and ugly.
Mm-hmm.
It is dark and ugly. I wonder. But on a brighter note,
uh-huh.
Coming up, while you hungry people out there, Oakdale, California, there's a festival. So all you need is $50 and $50. And right now, I'm gonna do this because I care about my listeners. Everybody out there, get a piece of paper and something to write with, because I got a recipe for your ass. I'm going to give y'all like 5 seconds. Everybody ready? All right. In Oakdale, California, there's an annual testicle festival. See, on Monday, next Monday, volunteers with the town's Rotary Club plan to fry up 400 pounds of bull testicles. And the dinners go for $50 a piece. The event, whose proceeds benefit the Oakdale Cowboy Museum, has drawn an average of 450 people, and last year alone it raised $28,000. And I guess it was called the Calf Fry for years, but in 2003 the event became the Testicle Festival. And they said the name change has more than doubled attendance.
What's the name of the Testicle Festival?
The Testicle Festival. See, what they would do is they would go and find the young male bovines and castrate them. And I guess they say, you know, of course it makes them more docile. And fans of this delicacy call them.
So you, okay, what's good? You're telling me they fry up 400 pounds of testicles. So somewhere there are a bunch of bulls with no balls.
Yeah.
They don't grow back.
Right. Not unless you take some insight or something, but that's a whole nother story.
So somewhere out to pasture are a bunch of bulls with that are docile.
Emasculated.
With no balls.
Pretty much.
Would that make them cows?
No.
No, because they still have.
Yes, they just.
No, have balls.
Ballers. They have no balls. But up there, they call them mountain oysters.
Yeah, Rocky Mountain oysters.
Now, all those people that I told you get that.
That
for the recipe. Here's the recipe from Testicle Festival President Lee Skate. He says wine, basil, and garlic. Now, what they do is they of course, they have to peel them and marinate them overnight.
Wait. You got to peel the testicles.
Yes, they have hairy balls.
So you peel them, you don't shave them.
Do you have time to shave balls? That didn't come out right. Anyway, you must, first you peel them.
I barely have time to shave my leg.
Hey, I'm trying to help the people out with a recipe. You're breaking up my momentum. So,
oh my God.
Yes. You peel it and you marinate them all overnight with some wine, basil, and garlic. And then the next morning, you bread them. Listen very carefully. And then they take the bread and material and deep fry it. They also add bay leaf, rosemary, garlic, and then they steam them. And according to Mr. State, after that, they are very, very good.
Are they tender their balls?
I'm assuming that after the marination.
Yeah, and then the deep frying.
And then
the
deep frying, that they're very tender balls.
I would say that they're very well done.
Yes. So,
ladies, if anybody want to respond to that one,
if you would like to respond, you can call us at 646-929-2037.
We're gonna take a short break. I need to recompose myself.
Recompose yourself.
I need to compose myself.
He's got
again and again.
Or mine.
We'll be right back.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama. Smooth. Drama.
Hold on. Welcome back. Smooth drama.
The recomposed smooth drama.
Oh, shit. I can't stop laughing over that one.
But,
woo, he left himself wide open for that.
Dick Hugger. We are making this happen here.
Woo.
Yeah.
Goodness.
That was nice. And once again, if you'd like to give us a call and talk about if you have any recipes for steer balls, you can call us up at 646-929-2037, or you can email us at smoothdrama1@yahoo.com.
We have a caller.
Oh, we have a caller.
Let's see here. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh my God, I cannot believe you had me get up and get some paper for that nasty recipe. That's the worst. That sounds like the worst thing ever.
What? It's
a delicacy.
It's a delicacy in Oakdale, California.
Oh, well, I guess you have to be rich or something to enjoy.
No, it's only 50 bucks. It's only 50 bucks.
How much do you get?
I'm
how many pounds of balls?
It's 400 pounds, so.
Yes, but out of that, oh, goodness gracious, how many pounds of balls do you get for 50 bucks? Hey, that sounds like a riddle.
Hey, you have to pay for it, too.
Get?
Oh, no.
It's a math problem.
I can't believe they have that many people going for it.
Hey, they say they average about 450 people. So
you get less than a pound.
No, you can get about a pound. Because you figure everybody's not going to eat a pound. Some people probably won't
eat
half.
That was a small ball, wouldn't you say?
I can't even see trying that on Fear Factor, much less paying $50 to try that.
Wouldn't you say if it's a pound of balls, isn't that kind of...
But we're talking about they have been marinated. They've been peeled and marinated overnight. And we're talking about wine, basil, and garlic. I don't know too many people that can turn that down. So
okay, I definitely turn that down. Definitely.
Hey, mountain oysters. And we talking about bay leaves, man. You know bay leaves and rosemary?
I would turn down a pound of hairy balls.
They're peeled. They're peeled, man.
No.
They're peeled. See, y'all don't understand that breaded.
That sounds even worse. Grated and peeled and boiled and, no.
And steamed. Steamed, not boiled. They didn't do the boiling part. They fried them and boiled them.
Well, they steamed them.
Oh, steamed,
yeah. With rosemary and garlic, man. That could be succulent.
Would you try it then?
No.
He said no.
But that's not the point. I'm saying don't knock it till you try it.
I can't get off the whole... vision of the hairy ball.
Okay, caller number one. Thank you very much for your call.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
Are you okay? All right.
I can't hang this up. Oh, there it goes.
I guess we're going to move on. We got to get off ball here.
Get off the ball.
Right. You got to get off ball.
Oh.
We get to talk about Koreans here.
Why?
Well, because I guess there is a market for sort of bile. It was brought into L.A. for sale. So I guess authorities say a woman was, and you know this word,
allegedly
brought into, was planning to sell bear bile in the L.A. area. A South Korean woman, I ever tell you about the time where I almost fell in love with a South Korean stripper?
How can you almost?
It's almost. You know, Koreans can be very godly. You know that?
Very what?
Very godly.
What's that?
Beguiling.
What's that?
That's where they can, like, look you in the eye and seduce you and all this other stuff. They're almost like harpies. Well, not harpies. Sirens. I said harpies. Sirens. Yeah. Anyway, a South Korean woman was charged Friday with violating federal animal protection laws by importing bear bile harvested in China and worth tens of thousands of dollars for sale in the L.A. area. Sanja Hyun was arrested late Thursday after U.S. Customs agents intercepted a package containing four bags of a dark crystalline substance believed to be bear bile. Bear bile, which is extracted from living bears kept in captivity on farms, often in Korea, China, and Vietnam, is used in traditional Chinese medicine as an aphrodisiac and a treatment for an array of ailments. They said the substance is usually taken in capsule form and sells for about $40,000 per kilogram in the U.S. But Kuhn allegedly told investigators she was planning to sell all the bile in her possession, nearly a kilo, for no more than $4,000. Yeah. Yeah, I guess what they do, extraction of the bile involves inserting a tube into the bear's gallbladder, which eventually causes the death of the animal. That's nice. That's really nice.
Bear bile.
Bear bile. Maybe, I guess that's like Chinese Viagra. They say it was aphrodisiac, and it's $40,000. That's a lot of money for something that comes out of a gallbladder. That just sounds nasty. I thought the only thing that came out of a gallbladder was like kidney stones.
No, out of a gallbladder, gallstones, not kidney stones.
Okay, whatever. That's still nasty. Oh, I guess kidney stones would come out of kidneys, huh?
Exactly.
I'm not that smart, but I'm getting there. Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know if there's any Koreans out there who want to let us know if they have any relatives who've ever taken bear bile.
As an aphrodisiac.
Yeah. Holla at you, boy. Let us know what bear bile is all about. I don't think I'm going to be finding out anytime soon. You know anybody? No? $40,000? I'm like, damn, crap don't even sell for that much.
No.
No? All right. Well, for all those people out there, when you haven't had time to pray or whatever, guess what? You can go to a new website called informationageprayer.com, and they will pray for you for a small fee, reading your emails out loud through a vocal replicator that will purportedly take your requests straight to God's ears.
Take your what?
Take your request straight to God's ears.
Woo, goodness gracious, yeah. I thought you were going to have diction problems.
Hey, users can select the religion and the types of prayers they want, and for about $4 a month, be in constant contact with a higher power. Catholic visitors can choose to sing the classic Pater Noster prayer, while Muslim visitors can virtually worship with the Fajr, the first of the five daily prayers in Islam. I hope I said that right. And they say information age prayer isn't intended to replace traditional forms of worship, but it does give users relief that their prayers will be heard, the site said. They said over at information age prayer that our service should be used like a prayer supplement to extend and strengthen a subscriber's connection with God. That's their mission statement. Yeah, and they said 10% of the service's total revenue goes to charity.
What charity?
Charity.
What charity?
Charity.
What charity, though?
Just charity.
Okay.
90% is for operational fees for the website.
Okay.
You know, so you can we can talk to God for you. You know, God's on the internet 24/7.
Yes, well.
And information age prayer has a direct line to them, and you can be in constant contact. But only $4 a month. Now, if you think about it, up at the church, I don't know. You know, they pass the bucket like every 30 minutes or so. And if you go every week and you put money in the bucket, you might be able to just stay home, chill out, pay your $4 a month. You ain't even really got to do that. They will handle it for you. No? You're not going to hit them up?
No.
You have them pray for you?
No. I will pass on that one.
All right.
Well, yeah, on that note, we need to take a station identification break.
All right.
And we will be right back.
Station identification.
Together you got a smooth drummer.
And you're back with Bud Pecan
and Dick Hugger
on Smooth Drama. Welcome back. We have another story for you.
We seem to have a never-endless stream of stories for you.
Always.
Boys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather be my little chickadee?
No, boys and girls.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, you can get with the blue pill, or you can get with the red pill.
What's the red pill?
Salk Institute researchers have found a biochemical pathway to block your worst fears.
All your phobias.
Yep, the study could lead to a drug that helps you forget the past. They say they found a way that could lead eventually to a drug that would help people block their worst nightmares and fears. I'm getting there. People who took the pill would be able to forget their fear of heights or flying or cure your panic attacks or just taking the pill in general. And they said the researchers at Salk Institute for Biological Studies right here in La Jolla, or would I rather say what I used to say when I got here, La Jolla, California, said the discovery could eventually help scientists develop drugs to treat disorders like post-traumatic stress disorder.
Post-traumatic stress
order. Then you take a pill.
Order.
So if you scared of somebody, you can take a pill, and bam, you won't be scared of them no more. Isn't that special? It's pretty amazing there.
I see.
Now, also, for you women, this is a special alert for you women. There's a new thing here for you.
Woo-hoo.
You paying attention, buddy?
I'm listening.
They have studies that show that 85% of all women wear the wrong bra size.
Oh, I know I do. Just want to stuff in
there. Oh, God. No. See, that's just wrong. On like 35 levels. Yeah, you joking.
Oh, joking, man.
Well, for all you people out there who don't know what your true bra size is, never fear. Fashion Valley, opening up tomorrow, the Bra Whisperer.
Oh,
Nestero.
My God.
Brings her 16 years of expertise right here to sunny San Diego.
And she's supposed to determine what bra size you are?
Hey, don't knock
as it. As if you can't walk into Victoria's Secrets and they can tell you there.
No, this is different, man. This woman, she serves, Nefero, she serves as the exclusive BraFit expert on Lifetime's How to Look Good Naked with Carson Kelsey.
Oh, God.
Hey, and not to mention, she was trained under the Queen of England, Royal BraFitter.
Oh, boy.
That means she has got straight-up skills. Straight up. Not only that, intimacy offers a one-of-a-kind approach to service when it comes to bra fit and fashion, the Theral says. And with an amazing inventory of bra, panties, and shapewear, our complimentary, personalized 30-minute consultations result. 30 minutes. And you get that ultimate full body transformation.
Yeah.
They say that the brands that they're going to offer, and I guess the name of the store is going to be Intimacy, includes Pinky Pinky.
What?
La Perla.
La Perla, okay.
Ibra J.
How much is it to get?
Fantasy.
To get?
Le Mystery.
Oh, my goodness.
Prima Donna.
Whatever.
Abad in Chantel. Can't wait to go, can you, lady? 30 minutes with a stranger filling you up. I need to be a consultant. Maybe I can get some volunteer work there. Do a consultation. Nah. This right, you got to wear this right here. I'm saying for the fellas, it's brand new. So you might want to go down there and see, put in the application. You can or do an internship with the bra whisperer. So you too can learn how to whisper a bra.
Yeah.
Hey, that'd be a nice little job. You know, college, you know, little young college students, you want to bring to
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah, it's 30 minutes, man. 30 minutes.
Mm.
It'd be kind of sweet. It'd be kind of sweet, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, I guess I'm going to put this warning out here. If you're prone to be, overly sensitive, I'm stuck here. You supposed to unstick me?
I don't have the gooby gone.
Anyway.
Don't have... You just flipped me off.
Yeah, if you're easily insulted, this may not be the report for you. Credit worthiness may be linked to looks. A credit score can tell a lender a lot about a prospective borrower, but so can the borrower's look. A new study says people who are perceived to be trustworthy are more likely to have a higher credit score and pay lower interest rates on loans and are less likely to default, according to the study by Rice University in Houston, Texas. They say even when hard facts such as credit scores are available, people rely on an assessment of trustworthiness to decide whether to make a loan. So if you look untrustworthy, they're not going to give you a loan. You're looking kind of shady. Yeah, that look right there.
Okay. Oh, my God. Okay.
Now, what they did, Jefferson Duarte, That's an interesting name, Duarte.
Yeah. Hey, I have a cousin with the last name Duarte.
Yeah, I know.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
How do you know? that I have a cousin.
Yeah.
With the last name Duarte.
We're not going to go there. More than 6,000, what they did, he's a professor of real estate finance at Rice University, and he's one of the study's authors. More than 6,800 loan applications, 2,579 loans, and 12,200 photographs from Prosper.com were used in the study. And I guess Duarte hired a team of 25 people to rate the applicants' trustworthiness on a scale of 1 to 5 using only the photographs of the borrowers. This team also judged the probability that the borrowers would repay $100 loan. Based on looks.
Yeah.
That was it. And I guess they said this is what they came up with, which is kind of funny. The pictures are revealing something about the behavior of these people that is not taken into the account in the credit score model. So basically, I guess this is like, not truth or dare. It's like the moment of truth. If you want to know whether or not you're cute or not, go to Houston, Texas, and try to get a loan. If you can't get a loan, you butt ugly. That's what they're telling you. If you get a loan, hey, you're cute. You might want to try to get yourself a job in the industry of cuteness. It's either or. And according to Duarte, to make sure that the evaluator's prejudice did not skew the results, the researchers controlled for race, age, gender, obesity, attractiveness, and education, as well as financial factors like employment status, income, and home ownership. Sweet.
Okay.
So pretty much, if you was really ugly, you wasn't going to get a loan. If you looked like you might be ugly, you wasn't going to get a loan. That was pretty much it. That was very enlightening.
Yeah.
You feel smarter and cuter?
I always feel smarter and cuter. That's a given.
Right. That's a given. I don't think people can hear you whispering.
That's a given.
Like you want to yin yang to them.
Yeah. That's a given.
Whatever. Speaking on what we always speak on.
Florida?
No, not Florida. Actually, we've been on the California too.
Yes, we have. And what's up with that?
I don't know. This is kind of Florida-ish. Kind of scared me. Northern California police. Specifically, and we're going to say this, San Jose police engaged in a 17-hour standoff in an empty house.
There was nobody in it.
Yes. On Saturday, officers set a perimeter around the home after receiving reports of an armed man threatening to kill himself. There was only one problem. Nobody was home.
So, oh my God.
When police first arrived at the residence, they heard gunfire, said San Jose Police Sergeant Ronnie Lopez. That's when they surrounded the home and shut down the block. 17 hours later, a man called 911 saying he was uninjured and had left the home before police set up the perimeter. The caller told police he had assault rifles in the home and gave authorities permission to enter. Police traced the call to a cell phone less than a block away from the home. And by the time the police got to the payphone, he was already gone.
Of course.
17 hours.
Oh, my God.
People of San Jose, that's your tax dollars.
I'm telling you, I was just thinking, that's your tax dollars.
And I'm sure that if he was coordinating it with somebody else, some got robbed in San Jose very easily. Because if you.
Yeah, all them police officers.
Seventeen hours.
If that guy never called, can you imagine how much longer that would have been?
But that's the reason why they were there, because he called.
Yes, but if he didn't call to say that he left the home uninjured,
they would get no tea. They're not even worried about going in.
They're looking awfully stupid.
Right, they're like, no.
Awfully stupid.
Think about it. That's a way to get OT.
They're just looking awfully stupid.
Now, think about it. That's a way to get OT.
Yeah.
It's not that far-fetched. You think about it. You create, and this conspiracy guy in me, you create a situation.
To get OT.
Hey, 17 hours. So if you're on an 8-hour shift, you get 9 hours.
Yes, but what if you didn't want that? If you wanted to be with your family and familia.
Okay. Well, maybe you got into a fight with your significant other.
But maybe you want to go see your kids play soccer. And that whole department had to stay there 17 hours. Did they ever catch the guy?
No. He left.
And they reported that in the news. You know what? I would be trying to keep that as quiet as possible.
But they ain't had no choice. Think about it. If you got caught blocking off the street, reporters will show up.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So that was nice.
Wow.
That was really nice. Now.
What dumbasses.
Well, we're going to move from dumbasses to smartasses.
Uh-oh.
Biker was awarded $8.6 million after crashing into a pig.
Who paid the $8.6? Who's going to pay the $8.6?
Well, once again, because we're not traveling too far. Much of the $8.6 million will pay for Adam Rogers' medical bills for injuries sustained after crashing into a pig.
Was it a pretty damn big pig?
Hey, it's all because of a crash on Highway Number 1 near Carmel, California, late at night in September 2003.
Who the hell let the pig out?
When the seaside man crashed his motorcycle into a wild pig. Rogers, who is a former kickboxing champion and karate teacher, was in a coma for months and suffered massive head injuries as a result of the crash. He sued the California State Department of Transportation, claiming the state was responsible for his injuries because it knew wild pigs were crossing the highway.
And they didn't have to sign up.
The jury agreed and awarded Rogers $8.6 million.
I need to go on a road where the raccoons are wild.
Yeah. Is there something said as a non-wild raccoon?
Don't people have pets, raccoons as pets?
Have you ever had a pet raccoon? Raccoons are pretty unruly.
Oh, are they? Oh, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, they're terrible.
Okay, ferrets,
What do you mean rats?
They're not a rat.
That's a rat.
Ferrets are not rats.
It's like a cousin of a rat.
No, it's not.
Does it have a tail?
Yeah.
Is it
but
furry?
For dogs.
Okay, is it furry?
There are dogs.
Yeah, dogs ain't too far from that.
But they're not rats.
Okay, but they're close.
No. Oh, but close, but no cigar.
Okay, but they're like two shades above rats.
But they're not.
All right.
They're not rats, so you can't call them. They're ferrets.
Anyway, we're talking about a man hitting a pig. And now there's a pig crossing sign that now stands in the spot where Roger accidentally happened to warn drivers.
And you know, in New Jersey, they should put up a sign of the flying turkey.
I know, huh? New Jersey.
Caution, flying turkey.
New Jersey, Maine, and Delaware.
Yes, yeah, flying turkey.
Right. Because technically, the Hurtados, they can sue. You didn't tell us that you had flying turkeys
Much now we can see, you know, flying birds and.
Now,
well,
first, I'm going to say that you, that jury, you are the first. Pop, if you're listening, turn off the sound. I'm about to say something.
Would you rather have me say it?
No. I got to say that this jury, you are the dumbest fuckers ever.
Uh-huh.
You and the judge to ever.
How much million?
8.6. For a man hitting a pig, how many people have hit dogs or tried not to hit a dog, then swerved and hurt themselves and whatnot?
Now, okay, we weren't in the courtroom, so we don't know the whole story.
What else is there to the story?
There must have been something that the jury saw that.
Yeah. Yeah, a man was crippled because he ran into a fucking pig.
Yeah, I know.
It's a pig.
And where was this at? Carmel?
Carmel, California.
Oh, my God.
See, this kind of stuff, and I'm thinking Carmel, California, isn't that in, like, Northern California?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, I don't know.
What are they doing with wild pigs?
Well, I mean,
is that near a forest or something?
Hey, he's on Highway 1.
I don't even know what Highway 1 is.
I don't know where Highway 1 is either.
Or where it runs through.
Obviously, Highway 1 is inundated with wild-ass pigs. And I guess they got the sign up now, but he sued. I mean, he's got a great lawyer. I need that dude's number.
Mm-hmm.
You can represent me on anything. Anything. Wild pigs.
Wild pigs on the road.
I've never heard of that. I mean, you think the people that were getting attacked by these gangster turkeys,
they would have sued.
Right. If you can hit a pig, the pig was minding its own business.
Right.
The pig wasn't even gangster like the turkey. The turkeys were like, you're taking you humans out. This pig just crossed the street. He's like, you know, trying to figure out why did, you know, was that the chicken crossing the street? Or some shit like that. I don't know. I was like, wow, I need to hit a pig. Somebody, because I don't see no signs out here in San Diego. By no damn pig.
Right.
Anyway,
on that note, bringing the show to a close, we'd like to thank you for listening. To send in your topics, you can email us at
smoothdrama1@yahoo.com.
And to stay up to date on current events, shows, special guest appearances, text the word smoothdrama to
41411.
On that note, we'd like to say good night, and until Thursday, have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Together you've got a smooth drummer.